Session 126, January 27, 1965. The Early Sessions, Volume 3, The Seth Material. Good evening, Rob. Good evening, Seth. Seth, we will speak again concerning a variety of interrelated subjects. First of all, let me make it plain that while I speak of separate fields and systems, you must remember that they are all one. Traces of each system will be found in each system, because no field or system is basically closed, although they may appear closed. They are closed enough to retain identity and separatedness of characteristic natures. But because they are all formed from inner vitality, they are actually interrelated. And when I describe fields or systems, I describe many portions of one reality, many faces of one reality. In such a manner, a simplicity is given which is helpful in explanations, but it must be kept in mind that all these explanations are extremely simplified. Dreams have a definite effect within the physical system. They are in part sparked with the aid of the physical system, but they do not happen within the physical system. They are not directly experienced by the physical system, but only translations of the original dream experience is felt by the actual physical system. The dream experience is felt directly by the inner self. Dreams have an electric actuality, as I've told you. In this electrical actuality, they then exist independently of the dreamer. Although he still applies the dream to himself, in the same manner do thoughts and emotions have an electrical reality of which I have spoken. Therefore, within the electrical system, dreams, thoughts, and emotions exist as actualities, and in that you may call a tangible form, though not in the form of matter as you are familiar with it. All of these systems are intimately connected and delicately balanced, and an alteration in one sets up an alteration in each of the others. There is no escaping this interrelationship. A man's thoughts, then, are far more reaching than he knows. They exist in more dimensions. They affect worlds of which he is unaware. They are as concrete, in effect, as any building. Thoughts then appear in many guises within many systems, and once created cannot be withdrawn, and once set into motion cannot be stopped. The same applies for dreams. All of this material concerning fields and systems will be most valuable when read in connection with our fifth dimension material. Rob notes this for some material on the fifth dimension, see the 12th session. Now, the inner self and the subconscious are not present in the physical universe insofar as they take up no space within it. They exist within the electrical system. They affect the physical system and operate closely allied with it. Nevertheless, they will not be found within the physical system. Thoughts are psychoelectric patterns set up by the mind and transformed to human codes by the brain. The mind is always with you. The particular brain is the physical mechanism which translates the thoughts of the mind. It goes without saying, then, that the brain belongs to the physical system, and here in clear terms you see the smooth operation that exists. Thoughts are initially psychoelectric patterns in pure form, productions of the inner self that must be translated in order to be used by the physical self. Inspiration is often a more or less instantaneous translation occurring for various reasons which I will give you later without the benefit of the brain's intervention. It is this strangeness that is often noted. The individual seems not to know where the thought comes from, because he does not recognize the characteristic mark of the brain upon it. And indeed, such a mark is lacking, for inspiration originates with the inner self. I suggest your break. In a most ingenious manner, then, all of these systems, while individual, are portions of one unified reality. The outer senses cannot perceive the unity. The outer senses can only perceive the apparent diversity within the physical system alone, for the outer senses do not perceive directly any other system but the physical one. The inner senses can be thought of as transformers, where various kinds of data is sent to proper channels within the personality, channels which bypass ordinary physical channels. They, then, can exist side by side. There are various reasons, which I have not yet given you, that allow for the traveling of the self through physical space and time. These reasons have to do with the electric actuality of the inner self, and with that counterpart of the physical body which exists within the electrical field. Personal identity, the basic I, is a product of the subconscious, and as such, it exists as an actuality within the electric field. Because of this, it is basically independent of the physical field, held to it mainly by the ego. The ego directs the identity toward physical orientation. This is an important point. The ego does not exist within the electrical field. The ego is a product of the physical field, formed from physical birth on. The inner identity and individuality, as you know, has its origins long before this. The inner self adopts an ego in order to allow manipulation within the physical universe, and yet part of the ego is composed of portions from the inner self, while the bulk of the ego is allowed to develop through physical heredity and environment. The breath of life, so to speak, is breathed into the ego by the inner self, but from that point on, the ego is independent. All of these influences have a part in the formation of the physical individual, and his existence is dependent upon a balance being maintained. In such instances, to use an analogy, serious short circuits do occur, intensities of power accumulate. The dream universe, for example, may intrude with unusual sharpness. The systems lose complementary balance, but on the whole, the system operates together most efficiently. Even the electric reality of a dream is decoded, that is, its effects are experienced, not only by the brain, but in the furthest reaches of the most minute cells of the human body. Dream experiences, long forgotten, are forever contained as electrically coded within the cells of the physical body. If an effect is felt in any one portion of human experience, then you can be sure that such an effect is felt in all other possible ways, whether or not such an effect is immediately obvious. This is also an extremely important point to remember. Suggest your break. Seth continues, every effect of any kind experienced by the human being exists as a series of electrical signals and codes that in themselves form a pattern that is an electrical pattern. They exist within the cells, or I should more properly say that the cells form about them. These electric-coded signals, then, form electric counterparts of complete experience, as it has been felt by any given individual. The pattern is, then, independent of the physical system, while residing within it. In other words, each individual, from birth on, forms his own counterpart from built-up, individual, continuous electric signals. At physical birth, his personality then exists in its complete form, and of course escapes the sort of ending that it would suffer if it were an integral part of the physical system. This electrical pattern is the personality, with all the experiences of its earthly time. It then can join or partake of the inner self. In other words, though the ego was adopted originally by the inner self and was a product of physical heredity and environment, it does not die, but its experience is changed from physical reality into electrical reality. It is still individual. No individuality is lost, but it becomes a part of the inner self, and its experiences are added to the total experience of the many personalities that have composed the inner self. In the composition and buildup of the personality, you can easily see that dreams, thoughts, emotions, and psychological experiences are far more important than any mere physical data. To the personality, a joy or a sorrow is far more actual than a table or a chair. Tonight's material, taken with our last few sessions, should add new dimensions to much of the knowledge that you had previously. I am very pleased that Rupert is keeping his dream notebook. Correlations will indeed be found, and the habit of subconscious focus in this manner will certainly bring results. The material given here on dreams will add depth also to previous material on the subject, and should be studied in that matter. A note here. Rupert has indeed discovered something at which I hinted, though in a different connection. In his daily predictions, he has begun to notice that one phase seems to stand for more than one event in some cases. I spoke of this in connection with dreams, saying that they were cunningly constructed so that any particular symbol would have a meaning for various levels of the subconscious. The appearance of this in Rupert's predictions represents a first glimpse of real progress. Rob notes, see the 93rd session, among many others, on dreams. Seth, during our next session, I will go into this much more thoroughly, for the matter is not only interesting, but extremely informative. And we shall spend a good part of our next session dealing with it. Perhaps I shall look in on you before then. In any case, my best regards to you both, and I will close our session. I may indeed see you before then. Sometime, who knows, you may see me too, and that will give Rupert something to brood over. His confidence, however, is slowly growing, but definitely growing. And as it does, so shall we progress. Rob notes, good night, Seth. End 10:32.